So today's Mishnah is Perek Shlishi, the Masechet Parah, Mishnah Aleph. This is a chock full of issues, Mishnah. And it actually is based on the Pasuk. Remember that it says, Kasher asah b'yom hazeh, tziva Hashem la'asot l'chaper aleichem. You remember the famous drosha, la'asot zeh ma'aseh parah, l'chaper zeh ma'aseh yom ha'kippurim, which means that we learn out of the miluim, where we had the shivas yomim of the preparation for the yom ha'shmini b'miluim and ashras ha'shkinah. We learn out that din of for shivas yomim to be kept separate, which was a reference to Aaron Uvana, that applies to the Kohen who's going to be Seref the Pora, as well as to the Kohen before he is going to be Nichnas the Tlaib and the theme on Yom HaKippur. So our Mishnah begins with these the beautiful, famous words, Shivas Yomim, Kedem L'Srefas HaPora, Mafrishin, Kohen HaSerefas HaPora, Mi Beito. Same words that we have at the beginning of Masechet Yuma. So lovely to see that drosha. Well, it's a D'oraiser, it's a Menasmach, the way the Rambam learns, but so beautiful to see the ideas of Mipesach, Hayomoyed, Lotetzer, Shivas Yomim, to be expressed word for word by Yom Kippur and for Pora Aduma. So to people who are connected to the source of the din in the Torah, it's a mamish, a very, very beautiful and moving Mishnah. And where do we take him? So as opposed to the continuation of the Mishnah in Yuma, here, we don't use the same Lishka Sfarhedrin or anything like that. We have a different Lishka. It's a Lishka Sha'al Pnei Habira. And remember the Gemara in Yuma has a Machlokas, Veshlokas, Rabbi Yochanan. What exactly does Al Pnei Habira mean? So over there, we have, according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's a particular place in the Harabayat that was called the Bira. And in the Yerushalmi, we saw that that is actually a bira. It was some sort of like a Migdal David kind of thing in the Har Habayit. And according to Reish Lakish, the Beis HaMikdash is called bira. Like it says, habira asher hachinoti. So we see it's a reference to the Beis HaMikdash itself, just like we call Shushan habira, the capital of the world. That's how they viewed it. Here, the Beis HaMikdash is the Bira Asher Hachinot. This Lishka was located in the Tzofein Mizrach corner. And why is that? Why would we go there? This is a fascinating halacha. We've already seen some of the dinim before, because we talked about the relationship of Chatas to Pora. Poras Chatas. We gave it some of the dinim of a Chatas. So even though, of course, it's not a real carbon Chatas, but we learn out dinim that compare it to the chatas, and we had the halachas of mumin and also to a nirva and so on. So here too, in order for the kohen who's preparing himself for these 7 days to remain aware of the grandeur of the effort that he's going to be involved in, we want him to be in a place where he will remember that first of all, this is compared to a chatas, and a chatas is nishkat b'tzofein. Of course, the paradum is nishkat b'chutz. It's ridiculous. But anyway, what am I doing here? And the whole Aveda is, the mokam is on harazesim, v'hizel nochach p'nei ha'amoed midama sheva pa'amim, which means that he's going to be emed b'mizrach and be facing the Beis HaMikdash and the Pesach of the Heichal. So because of that, he remembers, if I'm here on Tzofein Mizrach, he reminds him of those specific dinim, and then he'll be careful to be makpid on the kavanah necessary for the Kippur Aduma. What was the name of this special Lishka? It was called Beit Evan. Why? So the Gemara explained over there, because Komaseh Hayu B'chlei Avanim, or Klei Glalim, or Klei Adama, Kalim that are not Makabal Tuma, and this introduces the whole unbelievable theme that goes throughout the sugyas of Pora Aduma, which is the fact that we were metamin hayu et hakohen asoref et hapara bipnei hatzedukim. Shehayu omrim, we said b'murvei shemesh haisanases, and they disagreed. And they understood v'hiza ish tahar. Can you imagine how stupid you have to be to think that hiza ish tahar means you're supposed to be tahar? Obviously, v'hiza ish tahar means that he's tamei. That's why the chachamim darshan. Otherwise, we were talking about an ish tahar. So when it says ish tahar, what it means is he was tamei, but he was tevel. But he's still tamei because there was no Erev Shemesh. And in order to back up that contention, what is hidden behind these things are incredible issues. In order to back up that contention, that in this place that is coming as the Mokar of Tyre of Yisrael, that we will bedafka be metame the Kohen and then put him in the mikveh so that he should be a tful yom, you hear? So because of that, we have to do insane things to make it clear that we're very makpid on the Tyra of the Parah Aduma. And the only reason that we bedafka do it is to show those stupid Sadukim that this is serious. All right? So because of that, the Sadukim went crazy about this. So we do it bedafka. And this was Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai. Because of that, we're very, very makpid, as we've seen in so many places, Ma'ala Asu B'Parah. There's many different ma'alot. We had the Simcha Giga. We went through all of the special dinim that Pura is more chomer than Hegdesh and Kodesh Kadashim and so on. And this is one of the ma'alot, which are ma'alot yeterot. And that is everything has to be not shayach to tuma, only klei avonim. Umazin alav kol shivata yamim, during these 7 days, which are called the Yemei HaPrisha. During these 7 days, we do a hazoya every single day, not really, but we'll talk about that in a moment, mikol chataot shayusham, from all of the chataot that were ever made from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because remember, they used to put aside as a mishmeret, they used to put aside to keep dafke by the Beis HaMikdash, a sample of every one of those Efer poros. There were a total so far of 9 poros shechted throughout history, as we'll see later. And the 10th one, as the Rambam says, is going to be brought by HaMelech HaMashiach, and that's the one that we await. Meanwhile, we utilize the Efer, that's a machlokas. Does that mean every day we choose another Efer, or every day we actually are Zorek Mikol Efer ve'Efer? The latter is the sheet of the Gra, the former is the sheet of the Rambam. And why do we do this? We do this because, as we're going to see, we hold that Hazoya is Bismana is a mitzvah, the same way that Tefillah Bismana is a mitzvah, which itself is a big machlokas. Such a beautiful Mishnah anyway, so it'd be great to start from the beginning. And I'll explain it more rapidly. Parah Perek Shlishi. And I think we've even, if that's the case, we already did the fine on the Helik Perek. All right. So we're up to Shivas Yomim. Remember, so we have the Posik that says, and the Parshas Amiluim, Kasher Asobi Yomazeh, Tziva Hashem La'asot, Vasaper Alechem, La'asot. We have the famous Brisa La'asot, Zema Haseh Parah, and the Lechaper Alechem is a Maaseh Yom Kippurim. So we have 2 Mishnayos because of that, one in Masechet Parah and one in Masechet Yomah, that reflect the din of the Shivas Yomim, of the Miluim, where the Kohen Gadol was separated out into the Mishkan at the time of Aaron HaKohen and into the Beis HaMikdash in Alishka at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when one of them is in Parah, and that's our Mishnah. 7 days before the Kohen goes to burn the Parah Aduma, Yirmafrish in the Kohen HaSerif as a Parah into a special Lishka, not the same Lishka as the one who is going to be Nichlas Lefnai V'Lefnim, but we're still going to be Mekayim, the Posek, Mipetach O Meyoed, Lo Tetsu Shivat Yamim, and therefore we're going to set you aside. The issue being, maybe you'll become Tamei, maybe his wife will be a Suffolk Nida that he doesn't know about it, won't be able to do the Aveda, in this case, won't be able to do the Sreifa, all of the sugis that we had over there in Yuma apply over here. And we bring him to a Lishka Shal Pnei Habira, and as we mentioned, it's a machlokas that we find in several places between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether the Bira is a particular place or the Bira is Habira Asher Hachinoti, as Reish Lakish says, which is a reference to the entire Migdash. Okay, and we mentioned also before that the Yerushalmi says Bira is called Bira, not Stam because it's the capital of the world, so to speak, like Shushan HaBira, but because it was an actual Bira, meaning it was a Migdal. Something like a Migdal David. Fine, so Reish Lakish learns that it's a Bira, means it's the Bira Asher Hachinot. Where was this particular Lishka? It was in the northern and eastern. So it was northeast in the Harabait. And the reason that we do this is because since the Pora is called a Chatat, and therefore it has the din of Chatati. Of course, it's not a Chatat because it's not even Kedushas HaMizbeach. But the Torah is comparing it to the din of the Chatas. So just like the Chatas is Nishchatab, it's Sofein. So therefore, to remind the Kohen who's going to be service HaPorah that he's being Isaac in something that has this Chashivas that the Torah calls it Chatati, so we make sure that it's in the Tzofon. Since Lamaisa, we end up doing the Aveda of the Porah on Harazesim, which is east of the Harabayit, so we also make it on the eastern side. So therefore, it's in the northeastern side, and that will allow the Kohen to have Kavana in the 7 days that he set aside. The name of this Lishka was Beit HaEven. And the reason that we called it that was, as the Gemara explains, again, these are things we've had so many times, if you remember even the Lashon, Kol Ma'aseh, Yubi Klei Avonim, Klei Gelolim, Klei Adama, all of these are Kalim, they're not Makabel Tuma. And because of this, he was also super duper tar. What does super duper tar mean? So remember, we have our dinim of what are called ma'alot asur bepara. And what are the reasons that we make all these ma'alot bepara, where we're going to be more machmer on the tire of a para aduma than even on kodesh and kodesh kodeshim? It doesn't make any sense. The reason is because we're makel on it. Why are we makel on it? We're makel on it because it says specifically that the one who should do the azoya is an ish tahor. And we darshan that ish tahor means that he is tummy. And he's tahor only on some level. Meaning what? That he could still be tummy as being a non-mu'uref shemesh. So he's a tvul yom. The Tzedukim went wild over this insane Pharisees taking the pasuk that says Tahor and say that it means Tamei, and that the only reason the Torah had to specify Tahor would be that there was some level of Tyra. And because of that, they would bedafka go ahead, and they would be mitame him, and then put him in the mikveh, so that now he would be in a state of Tvulyom. Now, since they did that, there was a chashash that people would be very mizalzel in the level of the tire of the Pora. My God, you went out of your way to be metameim. So because of the need to put the tzedukim in their place and to insist that we keep to the halacha and not to religion. So you guys thinking, oh, well, the Torah says it has to be tar. We know what the Torah means, okay? So therefore, we bedafkar metameim. But because of that, we made many chumras to counteract the impact of the fact that we went out with metamiyim. And these are all the ma'alot of the parah. So some of these things are the fact we won't even let the kohen who's going to be served as hapara come into contact with kalim that could be makabel tuma. And because of that, we use the lishkas ha'even where every last thing is made out of avonim. And Reb Barnea can tell us how in the homes of the Kohanim that we have access to today in the Old City, that there are so many clay avanim and clay gilalim, that this was the standard usage of Kohanim who were makbid on dinam of Tuma. Will you tell us something, Reb Barnea?
Tables. Extra chodas made out of it. Yeah. And we found four factories for the manufacture of vessels. So now we can tell you that we only put in the hold to hold the cup if everything else came out okay, right? Because so often it broke. I've shown up here. I have to clay it, right? You've seen it already. That's what I mean to bring it out.
No, actually, I'd like to see it. I don't remember your, it's time for Barnea Show and Tell. Let's give it a try. Such a pleasure. The astonishing variety of people that we have over here is just like, okay, Baruch Hashem. Special source to be with such people. As far as being with such names, I don't know. The names don't seem to be that, you know. I mean, there's lots of Moshes and Mordechais and things, so I don't know. There we go. Okay, so what is that, Reb Barnea?
This was a cup never finished because we have no hope. It broke in production and it was found by David Wilner in one of the four factories when you go past Hebrew and you're going through the mountain to go out on Highway 1. They made this tunnel on the ground and that's what they found. One of those pieces lying around there.
Wow.
So this is a cup from Bein Sheni that never saw use because it was left at the manufacturing site because it broke. And just
and it's solid stone.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Wow.
Stone.
Wow. Nice.
Stone.
Uh-huh.
So in the Roving Corner, which is now reopening, you see whole ones, you know, museum quality.
Right.
Ones. And this is a core.
Ah, okay.
Right? In other words, I have to pull out from here. I have to take pieces out. They would often use this and make a cock, you know, to make a cork, to make a top.
Uh-huh.
Fit in. They did things with what they pulled out.
Beautiful. Okay, thank you. Excellent. That's really nice. Very special to see. Right. Okay. So in addition to that, we did also, just like we did the Hazoya during the Yemei HaMiluim, so we were also Mazin Alof Kol Shivata Yamim. Now we're going to see it's not really true that we were Mazah all 7 days, but we were Mazah the, let's assume it means Kol Shivata Yamim, Mikol Chataot Shayusha. So remember, there were only 9 Chataot in total ever made in history. The 10th one is to be made by HaMelech HaMashiach, and each one of those chataot were always known by the name of the individual that had made that korban, that had made that poras chatas, and since it says that it should be kept as a mishmeret, so there was always one chelek of it that was put by the Har HaBayit that they had access to. So they would use this is a machlokas rishonim that I mentioned, that according to some, they chose on each day a different one of these chataot. So that doesn't mean every single day. That's the Rambam's approach. And the Gros approach is that every day they were mazim, whatever chatas was available that was still there in the mishmeret. Why did we do this hazoya? So again, it's a big chumrah. Because maybe somehow this Kohen had been Tomei Meis and he didn't know about it. And in order for him to be able to be Tohar, obviously he had to go through Shlishi with Hazoya, third day from his exposure, and Shvi. So because of that, we never know what day is today. In other words, today when he first walks in, this may be the third day from the time that he was exposed to a mate. The second day that he's there may also be the third day that he was exposed to a mate. The third day that he's there could also be the third day that he was exposed to a mate. But the fourth day can't be, because there was no way for him to be exposed to a mate once he was sitting over there in his lishka, right? So then the fourth day, we would not need to do a hazoya. Because it cannot be the third day, of course. And we don't have a suffix that maybe it's the seventh day, because the only way that we would do a seventh day is the seventh day when he had already done a hazoya on the third day. But he didn't do a hazoya on the third day in this case. And therefore, how could it be the seventh day? Because we didn't do a hazoya on Shlishi And therefore, this seventh day wouldn't have helped us. So the fourth day, there's no reason to do Azayin the fourth day at all. In which case, when it says Mazina Lov Kol Shivat Hayamim, obviously, it doesn't really mean Kol Shivat Hayamim. Now, as the Gemara describes over there in Yuma, the truth is that we did not do Hazoya on him on Shabbos, because Hazoya is not Toicha Shabbos. So what they would do is, they would be Mafresh him in a way that the fourth day turned out to be Shabbos, so that anyway, that day didn't require Hazoya. And that would mean that we do the Hafrasha on a Wednesday in order that the fourth day would be on Yom HaShabbos. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lo Yumazin Alav Ela B'Shlishi B'Shvi Bilvad. There's no reason to be mazin on him every day. So therefore, we just do what we need to do to make sure that he's tar. To make sure that he's tar, the worst situation that we have is that the third day is indeed the third day from his exposure. And so, Mamela, we do it on the Shlishi Ushvi. That's worst case, because he couldn't have been exposed after that. Rabbi Chanina Ganakoni Momer, Al HaKohen, Al Sorefet Apara, Mazin Kol Shivat Hayamim. It's not true. The Kohen Al Sorefet Apara, we actually did Hazoya all the days. Vashien came by Yom HaKippurim, there, you're right. Lo Yom Mazin Alav Ela B'Shlishi B'Shvi Bilvad, and the Gemara explains, not here, obviously, because we weren't zeichet to the Yerushalmi here. But, except Richie says he has a hidden copy, but he didn't want to expose it to us. But the rest of us have to be satisfied with the Gemara in Yuma. We're over there. It turns out that the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi both hold that Tfilah Bizmana Mitzvah. And the only question is whether Hazoya Bizmana Mitzvah. So according to the Tanakama, Hazoya bizmana mitzvah, and therefore, of course, when it comes to the Torah, just like by tefillah, whenever you go to the mikveh, even if it's 20 years later, it's still going to be fine. The question is whether there is a mitzvah to go to the mikveh as soon as that mikveh becomes available in terms of the dinim of Tumah v'Torah. So that they hold, but the question whether, because it's the third day, therefore you need Hazoya, you can do Hazoya 3 years later, and that becomes now the third day, and then on the seventh day after that, which would be 4 days later, you do the second one. So that was Gufa the Machloka. So the Tanakama holds Hazoya is also mitzvah, and therefore both of them have a mitzvah, whether it's the kind of service apara or whether it's the kind of Yom Kippurim, because of the mitzvah, we do it on what might be the third day and what might be the seventh day, in order to be Mekayim, that mitzvah. Like we said, any day that's a suffix shlishi, which is the first, second, and third day, or any day that's a suffix shvi. So therefore, it makes sense what we said at the opening of the Mishnah. But Rabbi Yossi, he holds that we're not makish hazoya l'tfila, and therefore, there's no mitzvah to do it dafka b'shlishi v'shvi. So therefore, the truth is, there is no need, whether you're a Sarif as Apara, whether you're a Kohen of Yom HaKippurim, there's no need to do more than Shlishi V'Shvi'i. Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim agrees with that, except that he holds that the din of Hazoya on the Kohen as Sarif as Apara is another one of the insane milos that were also Bipara, in order to make it just seem, oh my God, this is super duper glot kosher Tyra. And because of that, the same way the moment you create glot kosher, everybody's only eating the very best. So the same thing is true with the para. And therefore we created glot kosher paras to make sure that nobody would ever use the day for para because it wasn't their heksher. Anyway, so this would be our first Mishnah. Now we move on to, I forgot whether we decided Richie's going to give us an intro to every mission. I think we decided just Perek, right? Okay. So Perek Gimel Mishnah Beit. Here is another incredible, wild Malash Asu B'Pura, which I'm sure you'll recall. We've had it in different areas, and this is absolutely mind-boggling. How do we get the water and the kiddush of the para from somebody who is tahar, because if he's tame, it would be possible. How do we know that someone has not been exposed to tumas meis or some other tumah, we could always put them in a mikveh, but tumas meis will end up being in a actual catch 22. Where do we get the first tools to make the first plier? Where do we get the first person to make the Afer Pura that is Tohar that we can all use? There's only one possibility. We need to manufacture special people that are not Tomei. So how do we do that? Well, we build special Chatzerot, Ayub Yerushalayim. These Chatzerot were built in a way that no tuma underneath could possibly penetrate them. So what do? We built them, actually, agabe sela. First of all, we put them on top of virgin rock. And besides that, we also made platforms, two levels of platforms, so that we had, no matter where you were standing, tachteim would be chalul, mipnei kever hatahom. So there would be no place where there could, even if somehow magically, in some previous civilization before the earth cooled, there was somebody buried inside this virgin rock, but there would be no straight line that would enable tuma to penetrate into that chatzer. And therefore you had layer upon layer of a chalal, because who knows, maybe there's something deep down in the center of the earth, and that would be Tumah Ritzutza, and Tumah Ritzutza, of course, can penetrate everything up to a Chalal Tefach. So we built these Chalal Tefachs underneath. So
let me make that easier. There's three lines of old shore of Korkar of sandstone, and the Chalcolithic and other periods, they made graves throughout them, so new houses in Tel Aviv, all fine graves of 5,000 year old with pots, with the bones, with everything. I was at one of these digs because they used the rock, which they couldn't use for agriculture, as burial. So they would be buried coffins. Even if the top looks like rock, very likely there's something underneath.
I see. Well, it seems suited for the people in Tel Aviv particularly. So it could be it's Bedafka then in Tel Aviv. I don't know.
Which is interesting why you have to be Jerusalem, I guess, because they want the place with less risk.
Okay, so they made sure that they had tumor-free zones. Now, in this tumor-free zone, so they would bring pregnant women to deliver special babies that would be tumor-free babies. So mevi'im nashim ubarot v'yoldot sham. So these women would give birth and live and raise their children in these tumah-free zones. Megadlot sham et b'neihem. So imagine we had tumah-free chadorim. Man, oh man. Tumah-free shuls. I mean, this was amazing. Imagine what a shchuna this was, right? And all of this was because of the malas also b'pora. And they would be megadol. And it says that they would only be megadol the kids until they were about 8 years old, because we also want to make sure that they were never tamei b'tumas keri. Once he's 9 years old, so then theoretically he may mature early and have useful sperm, in which case it would be metamei him. So he can't be more than 8 years old. And maybe im shvarim. Now when it comes time to get the water, and then you have to be put the Afer Pura, so from before. And now you want to be Maza on the coin. It's going to be these kids that will do all of that work. So we take these massive Shvarim, and we put doors on top of the Shvarim so that they should be a Chatzitza, and the Tinokot sit down on top of the doors, on top of the parim, so that when they have to go to the Shiloach to get the Efer HaPura, there will be an ohel that protects them from any keverat ha'om that they might pass over. They were all holding one of Barnea's kosot shel even biyadam, and when they got to the Shiloach, they would get off of their special tumah-free conveyances, take their tumah-free cups, and go into the Nahar HaShiloach, which would be free of tumah's mace, because people don't usually cover underwater. And they would go back, sit on top, and they would come to the Har HaBayit. Rabbi Yossi says, no way. How do you know somebody didn't drown and get buried underneath the Shiloach? They had to stay on top of their tumah-free shvarim, and then they could carefully lower their tumah-free cups over the side, bring the water up, and then they got back to the Har HaBayit. Then they could do all of the work that they did. What a beautiful chumrah. Okay, how much did they pay these women to raise their children, or did the women have to pay? What's that? Husbands. These were virgin births. How in the world did they keep...
What about Tumas Leida?
Yeah, well, what about Tumas Leida? So this the Gemara discusses, actually. So the question is that going to necessarily be metame the child in a way that we don't want? Well, obviously, it could be metire the child. They might have touched the sherets, right? So anyway, we have to be metire them. So all that we were worried about, specifically Tumas Meis, would be a serious problem, because over there we need the Hazaya. But from any other Tuma, we could be metire them. Okay, Rabbozai, it's been fun. And hopefully we'll be able to finish this perek, the big perek. Maybe it'll take more one day, but Bezrat Hashem, we'll try for tomorrow. Kol Tuv amidst Besorot Tovot, and are completely ignoring all of the insanity around us, putting our full bitochen only in Yadei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Umashti Asavon HaOretz Hayi B'Yoyim Echad, throw out all of the garbage. One day, everything could be tohar, clean, fresh, as if nothing ever went wrong, innocent as it once was, all of us, big the tinokot, on these wonderful platforms, and ready to go. Kol Tov, everyone.